Snapshots by LJ user Princess Bunny, read by LJ user One Time Offer. John and Rodney meet when they're 11, which anyone will tell you is the perfect age to pick the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. They bond over stupid school bullies and overbearing parents. Rodney's dad wants him and his sister to be world famous by the time they're 15. John's dad wants him to become a general when he's like 25 or something. John really wants to fly. He has all these model planes hanging from the ceiling, but he tells Rodney he was in an accident that screwed up his eyesight, so he can't. Pilots need perfect sight to shoot people out of the sky or something. Although, it kind of makes him like Cyclops, so he's trying to cope. Tragically, they won't let him wear rose-tinted sunglasses in class. Rodney sympathizes. He just had a retarded teacher ruin his whole life, and now he never wants to see a piano again. John pats his hand and gives him an Oreo. It's surprisingly easy to buy Rodney's lifelong affection and devotion. When John looks back on it, he wishes he would have given him the whole bag. Rodney tells him he wishes that as well. They page through the album John's mom sent down as John's 35th birthday present. He doesn't even remember what his mom looks like without a camera in front of her face. Her pictures span through his memories, neatly arranged rows of time spent in joy and pain. It's John's idea to build the nuclear bomb. Rodney's pacing his room, cursing everyone and everything on the entire planet. Look, this is all stupid. It has to be bigger. I'm a million times smarter than all these morons. I don't want to just show him up. I want to make them cry at their mediocrity. John looks at him over the top of the comic. I really wish my mom hadn't given you that word of the day calendar. Look, if you want to do something really cool, just build a bomb. I can't build a bomb. I'll get kicked out of school. Oh, I see. This is a plan to get me out of the way so you can be the smartest person there. Rodney narrows his eyes. John snorts. Yeah, because being more intelligent than a bunch of morons is certainly a huge compliment. The bomb doesn't have to work, Rodney. Just build an inert one. What's the point of that? Anyone can build a bomb that doesn't work. Well, can anyone build a nuclear bomb that doesn't work? John turns the comic around, and they both look at the mushroom cloud penciled in colorful grays and reds. Rodney's eyes widen. Finally, a chance to really show off. He grabs the comic book out of John's hand and shoves it in his bag. Come on, we have to go to the library, right now. John grins up at him excitedly. Really? We're really going to build a giant bomb? Rodney says, yes, now get your bag. Come on, we only have 2 months left. When they're done, they circle the warhead and knock on the metal. It clangs gorgeously. It's too bad we can't test it. Yeah, but where are we going to steal uranium from? Rodney looks glum. It should work, though, and that's all that counts. John nods. This is going to be the best science fair ever. Later, when they're separated and interrogated by the CIA, it seems a little less like a good idea. Rodney spends the whole time bitching about his blood sugar, and John is pissed because his puppy eyes have no effect on their people. What are they, robots? Those eyes even work on Rodney, and he doesn't even have a soul. The CIA agent is really startled when one of the kids knocks on his arm, frowns, and asks, Polymer? High school is really awkward for both of them. They skip several grades and end up small and vulnerable in a sea of hormones and idiots. They're both so far ahead of everyone else, it's a joke, and even the teachers can't keep up with Rodney. John decides to have some issues of his own. What do you mean you like guys? I just, you know, the porn we're stealing isn't doing it for me, Rodney. Rodney flails. It's like my whole life is a lie. John stares up at him. No, it's like my whole life is a lie, Rodney. John's face is stony as he pulls at Rodney's bedspread on his annoying twin bed. Rodney sits down heavily. I like girls. That's okay with you, right? John stares at him. How do you make everything about you? Is it talent or some kind of crappy learned behavior? Rodney shrugs. I think it's genetic. They both pause to think of Rodney's father, a man who makes his co-workers cry for fun, and they both nod. Totally genetic. John crawls over and puts his head on Rodney's shoulder. Don't get weird, okay? I need you. He buries his face in Rodney's neck and starts sniffling. Rodney wraps an arm around him as he says, Oh God, you big baby. They stay like that for a long time. The only other time Rodney sees John cry after that involves a man named Matthew and one named Paul. Rodney blows that fucker's car up so efficiently, the police find the steering wheel embedded in the front door of the guy's apartment. He's really careful, and no one can actually pin it on him, even though everyone knows it was him. Everyone keeps a respectable distance from both of them after that, even campus security. After McGill, where Rodney gets a degree in physics and John gets one in math, they separate, which is horrible and life-wrenching. Rodney goes to Northwest and John goes to Princeton. They both learn to steal phone lines and hack into open computer systems to have constant phone calls. They spend their summer vacations doing internships and working. They come home at the same time and sleep in the same bed. It's awful, but they both advance so fast in the respective fields, even Rodney's dad eases up with his greatness talks. John's dad calls once a month to tell his son how proud he is of him, although there is always a pause when he asks if John is seeing anyone. John always frowns at the phone after they hang up. He's so glad his mother held her ground and stayed in Canada when John's father got relocated as part of the 1500th. He doesn't want to think of what kind of person he would be if he had spent high school in Oklahoma. They both finally end up together at Caltech. It's like every Mensa meeting Rodney made John go to times a billion. But John meets gay geeks, and wow, that's like heaven, only with pocket protectors lined with pens that have four different colored inks in them. Rodney's alone most of the time. He's not smooth. He hits on women using a blunt, vaguely caveman method that makes John giggle and point. They get really drunk when Rodney finally does manages to score. Rodney ends up falling asleep in John's bed, not the girl's. John tells him way too much about his own love life while Rodney yells and covers his ears. Rodney is king nerd by the time they're both done with their second PhDs. All the rest of the guys hang on his every word, and the CIA is practically offering them real live slaves to get them to work for them. Rodney suggested at the recruitment drive, but John smacks him with a clipboard. The CIA agent doesn't exactly say no. They both just stare. When they get married, it's a big, huge, embarrassing mess. John's mom keeps crying and snapping pictures until Rodney is blinded by the flash and sprains his ankle. John starts crying when they say their vows, and Rodney almost trips again trying to get him to stop. Two people almost die at the reception, but for once, those two people aren't John or Rodney. Sam is sitting next to Miko. That turns out to be the name of the Japanese woman who never talks. She tells Sam a story about why new people really aren't allowed to come to the SDC without a breaking-in period. A few years ago, some kid came in straight out of his PhD program and didn't listen to Dr. Zelenka, the guy with the Einstein hair, when he said, "Don't touch that. Don't do this." John almost died pushing Rodney and Miko out of the way when something exploded. Rodney spent the 10 hours John was in surgery sitting on the floor outside the operating room crying and screaming at everyone around him. When the kid came to try and apologize, they had to hold Rodney against the wall while he almost had a heart attack. When John got better, he and Rodney locked themselves into a room and wrote a whole list of rules for new personnel. It was 5 pages long and included, "You have to not be a dumbass" in 25-point Verdana font, underlined as number 1. Sam watches as all the guys get up and move the tables out of the way. Miko claps and sits up, grabbing Sam's arm. Daniel is out there, laughing. He looks like he finally belongs somewhere. She's happy for him. They turn on a song she can barely understand. All she catches is something about JavaScript and Klingon. John and Rodney do some kind of coordinated flailing that makes everyone in the place scream and spray beer on them. She watches them cling to each other, laughing, and their happiness is a beacon to the whole room. Across the reception hall, she sees a woman with brown hair who smiles at Sam over her wine glass.